This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look at the Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, wiener time, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty.
And about to not be funded by a radio station because we keep talking about dongs.
From Mornings on 107.7 The End, I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Century League Field, Brandon from the internet.
Hello.
Hi. Do us a quick solid. Click on through to Apple Podcasts. Real quick, thank you to everyone who has been doing this because you're the best. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
We're just one short of getting, I believe, 50 reviews on this podcast.
Whoa,
which is
cool.
Pretty dope.
Yeah.
So if you could leave us a comment, that'd be great. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
From Will, I'm your literal daddy Bruin, to Carl, Goose is loose, Svensson.
Man, the goose is loose. New review alert.
Yes, new review. Thank you, Derek, who's actually based on your username on iTunes. I think that you're Derek from Twitter, who's a great friend of the pod. So thank you, Derek, for this new review. Derek says, I don't know what Jan/Yan is on about. Plenty of quality footy talk that's accessible to casual fans as well. I'm far from casual, but this is still a great show full of hilarious antics. We don't need serious I almost said we don't need serious analysis at all times. Enjoy the silliness in wiener time. Keep it up, guys. Wizard Bird for life. And his favorite players are Will Bruin and Dad Woo! Marshall.
Great choice, Derek. Great choice. I wonder if that changed last night.
Now,
this week.
He did leave this to his credit. He left this review before the Western Conference final. So way to go.
You feeling it there, buddy? You're full of airs today.
I feel like you're
dragging ass today.
I'm tired, man. That match, I was not ready for that. I think my brain is still fried from processing all of the Twitter and all of the madness that happened over the
11:02. I see when I wake up this morning at 4 a.m. at 11:02, there's a message from you being like, we're gonna pod tomorrow, and then I check our Twitter and you've already declared that we're gonna pod today. So I was like, well, yeah, so it sure seems like our podcast is promising we will, so here we are.
I assumed this that week, we needed to. Yeah,
this week the Schmetzer Time Sounders FC take on the scared fighting Caleb Porters in the Ziggy Schmid Derby, or the Brad Evans Battle, or the Chad Marshall Cup, or what we're calling the MLS Cup Final. 4 times in 5 years, Brandon. Not bad.
It's insane. I was trying to explain to my wife, who likes the Sounders but always tells me that she hates them because it makes me do things instead of do things with her. And I didn't mean anything like that. But she even understands the impact of how amazing it is. And she that the Sounders are in their fourth final in 5 years. But when I told her, the Sounders made it to the final, and she was like, who are they playing? And I said, Columbus. And she was like, not Toronto? I was like, I know, right?
That's amazing. Full90podcast.com. Check us out there. It has links to all of our stuff so you can communicate. You can listen to the pod, everything else you're listening right now. So thank you so much for doing that. You can find us on the radio.com app, 1077theend.com, and a bunch of other places depending on where you're coming from. Let me tell you how hard it is for me not to gloat when I'm hosting a Portland morning show to be like, hey, your dumb fart team isn't here, and here we are, MLS Cup Finals again, dummies, and we're playing your old coach.
Yeah, how does your dumb preseason extra glorified tournament COVID Cup feel now, idiots?
Yeah. 25 players, one cup. Like, get out of here.
What a match, though, man. That I want to know, because at one point, so obviously the Sounders win the Western Conference Final 3-2 against Minnesota United in not so regular terms. And I want to know, in the 75th or whatever minute it was 2-0. How close were you? I was close. How close were you to turning off the TV and going to bed?
Oh, not turning it off. That's for sure. And I'm the one who has to get up at 4 a.m. and it's like dragging on. My wife's mad at me, you know, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, of course.
But at that point I was ready to literally to tweet. My tweet was, so how does this work? Do you root for Minnesota to beat Caleb Porter? Do you root for Minnesota because Ozzy is going to be there representing sort of like a legacy of being here, like a guy you can really cheer for, or what? Boom. Will Bruin comes on, scores a goal right away. Okay.
Yeah, it makes your choice a lot easier.
Yeah. Oh, what do you know? Another goal just moments later. 20 minutes, 3 goals, Seattle Sounders FC go on to win. That third goal, Brandon, I was literally jumping up and down like my toddler and downstairs in my living room going, trying to keep, but also trying to like kill Bill when the girl is underneath the bed and her family is killed and she goes, whimper, and then she tries to bring it back in because my wife is upstairs. She's just had hand surgery. Ooh. She's dealing with our toddler to try and get him to bed, and I'm downstairs yelling about soccer, ignoring my family. So like at the same time, I'm like literally jumping up and down because I can't make noise.
Yes.
Yeah, it was exactly that. Yeah. When that goal went in, I don't even know who scored it at the time, anything.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for there to be like the flag to go up, it's offside or something like that. Not only a huge victory there late in the match, but no extra time had to be played. We didn't get that 30 bullshit minutes of stoppage or that extra time that you would have to try and resolve it before going to PKs with MLS Cup final precariously scheduled in five days away.
Yeah. And Columbus with an extra 2 days of rest going into it. So that was clutch for the Sounders to get out of there in regular time, but even more clutch to get out of there at all.
How were you feeling? Like, where were you at?
Oh, 2-0. I was telling my wife that I was about to be. She was upstairs packing. We obviously moved to Spokane. She's been traveling back to Seattle to continue to cut hair, just for the rest of the year. And so she was getting ready to leave at like 5 this morning to drive back to Seattle to do that. So I'm having sirens in the background.
Okay, sorry, there was a sirens going by, ambulance, and Brandon didn't get arrested and is not going to the hospital, so we continue.
I concede nothing, Brandon Culp.
So your wife gets up 5 a.m. to go to Seattle, and you're up.
Yeah, I'm downstairs watching the soccer game, and it's 2-0, and I'm getting ready to tell her, like, hey, I'll be up in a second to help you pack and help you get ready to do this 4-hour drive tomorrow early in the morning. And then Big Bill Bruin scores a goal, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll still be up soon, but she heard me, you know, celebrate downstairs. And then Raul Ruiz Diaz scores a goal, and I'm like, oh, no. She's going to be so mad at me. She's going
to
be so mad.
We have an hour more soccer to watch.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, Raul Ruiz Diaz scores a goal, and we've got 30 more minutes of soccer plus penalties probably. She's going to be real mad. And then Gustav Svensson scores a goal, and I'm going crazy downstairs, and she's mad at me for that. But I'm like, hey, we don't have to worry about 30 more minutes of soccer.
saved your marriage.
Yeah. Thank you, Gustav. Thank you, Carl. Dr. Carl Svensson. anyway, that was I was pretty close to turning it off at one point because I was so depressed watching it. I couldn't believe, like, the Sounders had played a really good game, but we knew Minnesota going into this match. We talked about it a little bit the week before when we didn't know if it was going to be Minnesota or Kansas City. They walloped on Kansas City. The game before, they won 3-0. They beat Kansas City 3-0. So they came into this match as technically underdogs, as the lower seeded team, but coming off of some really strong wins. When the Sounders were coming off of a Shane O'Neill induced win against FC Dallas. So
Dr. Shane O'Neill, OBGYN, he's doing an induction now. The idea that Minnesota came in with so many fewer days of rest, I think is one of the factors that helps Seattle have just that extra step. Healy, their manager, said that he didn't mention it at all during the week. He didn't want that to at all be one of the themes, so that way when they started feeling tired, they played into it. And I think that's really smart. But a full-strength Minnesota with the type of games they had been having, I think would have been, maybe you could have seen that 3-0 result again.
Well, and then you start to, you try to think that maybe like an extra day, an extra 2 days might not make that big of a difference. And you're hoping that right now as a Sounders fan, as you're about to go into an MLS Cup final against Columbus Crew, who have had 2 more days of rest. But yeah. You saw in this Sounders Minnesota game, this a complete like meltdown by Minnesota in the last, 20 minutes of the match. So you got to think that maybe it was poor substitutions on their part, but how much of it was rest?
I know what it was. It was Schmetzer time.
Schmetzer time! Man, Alexi Lawless can suck it. Okay? That guy comes out, like, we are the theme song fake TV show Media Central over here, okay? You can't come out here as Alexi Lawless just because you have access to a guitar and Fox Sports and come out and make some sort of stupid Schmetzer time song, but to his credit, Schmetzer time, which I didn't think was a thing going into this match. I thought this was like a media contrived fake news, Brandon Colt 2020. They just made up Schmetzer time, but then the Sounders go and score 3 goals in 20 minutes in the last 20 minutes of the match, the last one in the 94th minute of the match. Yeah. You gotta maybe say that Schmetzer time might be a thing.
Also, last year in the playoffs, Jordan Morris.
Yeah.
You know, hat trick against Dallas, like late on secures that win. Yeah, it's like that's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of us being the jingle show, get out of here, Alexi Lawless, your band.
Jingle show. That sounds like something inappropriate that when you're in Thailand and you're walking down Khao San Road and people are coming up to you want to see a jingle show?
Yeah. Yes. How many baht does this cost? Around my house, I've just been going, that's so new, like nonstop. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere today, my boy, my 3-year-old, he just goes walking by. He's like, that's so new. And I was like, I've done it. I have succeeded where others have failed. I have taught my child to sing the new Who song. I changed my, on Reddit, I changed my little, what do you call it? My flair to new Who. It's on. I want to get the new Who jersey. I want it all.
It's got
to
be. Do you get?
I want it now.
Do you get new Who or do you get Choo Choo on the back? That's the question.
I want to get soccer time on the back. I think I'm actually like legitimately considering buying a jersey for Saturday's matchup.
Oh, there you go.
To have the commemorative one. I'm actually somebody at the organization asked me to play in a bit of a media match at some point. I was like, I can't do it. But, like, would you still give me the shirt? And they were like, absolutely. Nice. Then the pandemic happened, and I didn't get that shirt. And I kind of feel weird being like, I know you're firing everybody,
hey,
but
what
do you
about
still have
that
shirt? Do you still got that shirt? Or, like, because I'm going to go buy one if not. So I think I will reach out and just see if that person will hook it up or not, because I would be willing to drive in. But I don't even know if they go to the office at all. I don't even know what's happening in Soundersville. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm considering getting the commemorative shirt. How about it? Maybe if they win?
Yeah. Maybe if New Who scores, oh my gosh, dude. If there was ever a time for New Who to score a goal, it would be in the MLS Cup final during a pandemic year.
Please, I'm not a religious man, but please, baby Jesus on the cross, give me that New Who goal. Black baby Jesus, too. I want it to be, please make that happen.
You don't want it to be appropriated, baby Jesus.
No, I want like French-speaking baby Jesus. I can't remember what country New Who's from.
He's Cameroon, but he speaks French.
Yeah, because it's the, you know, because of colonization.
Colonies.
Yeah. White people.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So speaking of asking God for things, we put out on Twitter and we said, recording in an hour, give us your last minute questions for the podcast before we loudly yell into our microphones asking God for forgiveness for last night. And we got a few questions and I want to ask a few of these questions.
So, and to be clear, you didn't put them on the sheet anywhere, so I don't know what's coming
exactly.
at us right now. So
exactly.
I'm going to give you like unrehearsed, unthought, like just very thoughtless answers right now. So
great.
Let's go.
Great. First question comes from my brother, Steven, and he asks how and also how. Please answer.
Yeah. Well, the answer is obviously Schmetzer time.
Yeah, obviously.
And yeah, the it was a it really was Brian Schmetzer putting in the right people at the right time. Look, you I don't know if you were like me. 60th minute rolls around, and I remember Stu Holden saying right before half, he's like, Schmetzer's got to make those changes at half so they come back a different team and they get it done. And then Schmetzer didn't do that, and I was like, oh boy. Then the 60th minute rolls by, still nothing, and I'm like, what is he doing? I know he's got a plan for a contingency of having 30 extra minutes potentially if it's a stalemate, but they're down 2-0 at the time and he hasn't done anything.
So
that blows my mind.
Thankfully, it
worked out. For him
to
put in those subs, yeah, for him to put in Bruin, Leerdam, who came in mad, and then Gustav Svensson, that central presence that you're missing to be able to kick Roldan outright and get Jovan Jones off the field, it was masterful.
It was incredible, and thankfully those subs ended up working out, given, I mean, albeit it took until literally the last seconds of the game. But my question is we talked a lot going into this match and going into the last match, is Alex Roldan has been in amazing form, right? And so have all of the other players that have stepped up for the missing Arriaga, the missing Svensson, the missing Leerdam, right? So like, you've got these players in there who are in form and playing good games and are on a bit of a roll, but there's a reason that Kelvin Leerdam is the starting right back on this team. There's a reason that Gustav Svensson is a starting central midfielder on this team. Even Arriaga, who didn't see minutes last night, there's a reason that he's that starting center back, right? You see some of those gaps start to open up. Dude, get that finger out of here. but that it raises the question, like, should Brian Schmetzer realistically, given the way that the team played after those guys came in, Big Bill Bruin, Carl Svensson, Kelvin Leerdam, should those guys have started this match? Would we have been in a 2-0 deficit to start that match?
No, it's, you know, Roldan gets himself into a bit of trouble by committing early fouls, bad ones,
literally
too,
a yellow card in the second minute of the match. Come on, man.
No, it was a little longer than that. He made it 7, right?
Maybe 7. Okay, 7. You're right.
Because in the second minute, he had that first awful foul.
That should have been a yellow,
yeah. But again, I messaged you about this during the match. When Ilfath is the referee, I'm always like at peace knowing that we've got, I think, the MLS's best ref. I mean, we won't get too deep into the woods on this, but like, the guy allows a game to play, and once he sets the tone, I think he does a really good job of maintaining it. So if he's going to let some fouls happen, he's going to do it. If this is going to be a foul this time, on the other side going the other way, it's also going to be the same foul and applied the same way. I really appreciate seeing him in command.
Okay, speaking of that, though, as we move on from these substitutes who maybe should have started, maybe shouldn't have, whatever.
Wait, hold on, I got an answer for that too, though. No, you shouldn't have started those guys, because Schmetzer's right. Those other guys have been winning and been getting it done, so to have that continuation, I think, is important in the playoffs. It's not like the regular season where you're trying to find what a good squad is. Those guys are performing together. Roldan makes some mistakes early, and that changes how the pressure is applied. I just think that Schmetzer waited too long to try, and he really rolled the dice and won big on that. But the people that he can bring in, it's not like he was going to bring Roldan on for Leerdam and hope that a kid gets a big performance. He's bringing in their pro to relieve the kid.
That said, I think that Kelvin Leerdam and Gustav Svensson, if fit, start in the final.
100%, because that's the team that won it for you.
Right.
I still don't think Bruin is on the field on unless they're going to try something wacky.
No, but he's an incredible super sub. So that's a guy that you love to see off of the bench.
But if you bring him off the bench to pair him up top, I just think that, like, if you start him as the lone center forward, it doesn't give the same kind of results.
It's not Bruin for Rui Diaz. It's Bruin for somebody else to play next to Rui Diaz, because the first goal that Will Bruin scored was a deflected shot first of all, it was a blocked shot that he blocked from Rui Diaz and then said, turn around, thank you very much, and put it in the goal.
Without thinking.
It was amazing. Yeah. But there were a couple times where there was a ball played up top long, and you saw Will Bruin and Raul Rui Diaz playing off of each other, and Will Bruin making runs to create space for Rui Diaz. And I know we're not a tactical podcast, but being able to watch those two play next to each other, it's not Clint Dempsey and Obafemi Martins by any means, but to be able to have two solid out-and-out strikers playing next to each other when we're used to having one or the other, it was really interesting to watch. And I think that that's an amazing option for Brian Schmetzer to bring off the bench late in a potential close MLS Cup final.
if you're Caleb Porter now, suddenly you got a whole new thing to worry about. Because you're watching a guy who hasn't delivered because he's been hurt, hasn't gotten back into shape, doesn't have his form, come out and stamp that game out. Like, Will Bruin was the, for me, Leerdam coming on and feeding the ball in better than anyone else had been. That was like a big difference to see. And Will Bruin comes out. Now you got to worry about that. Oh, what happens if they do bring Bruin on? He's going to be potentially trouble that you just got to plan for. It's just one more thing that you got to spend your time worrying about rather than focusing on how you're going to beat the team. How you're going to stop them is tough.
Yeah. So moving on, we have a couple more questions. But you did bring up the referee, Elfeth, yeah. who is, I think, the 2020 MLS or Pro Referee of the Year or something like that. So
good.
So you have potentially the best referee in the league reffing this match. However, there was a potential, I mean, so I'm not even going to get into the VAR reversed call on the Rui Diaz goal, because I agree with it. I agree that Rui Diaz fouled the guy on the,
yeah,
on the run-up
for
the
sure.
play. Okay, so moving
Again,
on.
To his quality, he saw the, you know, the review ref saw it and told him, and he went and looked at it and overturned it. It was like, no one should have been surprised by that when you see Rui Diaz push a guy over.
Yeah, so he does that. He uses VAR well. He overturns a call. However, late in the match, there's a potential penalty called not called against against Christian Roldan. And by all looks that I've had of it, it's a penalty. If that play happens out in the middle of the field, Christian Roldan going for the ball. I hate having two Roldans on the field. It's very hard to remember. And they look so similar, too.
Just say Roldan. Roldan going for the ball.
Yeah, Roldan going for the ball and the Minnesota defender coming from behind and not winning the ball. And even if he does, he takes out Roldan with the trailing leg. That's a foul anywhere on the field. It happens in the box. And I got to imagine with 40 to 60,000 fans in the stadium booing and screaming, Elfeth at least goes to the monitor and takes a look at it. He does nothing. He does nothing in this. Is that a penalty to you?
I'm torn on that because I think I don't read the rules because I'm bad at reading, but I think if you like looked at the rule book, guy comes in, slides through the back, right at the wait, takes Roldan down in the box.
Yeah, I mean that's a foul.
And it's a foul in the penalty box. Yeah, Roldan's going the wrong way. Yeah, the ball was getting away from him. Yeah, it wasn't like he was in control.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you have to weigh out. And it's like, is this match going to be about the referee's whistle and the rule book, or is it going to be about how the game is being played? And Elfeth made that decision that it was about how the game was being played at the time and let his VAR ref tell him that it didn't need to be reviewed and or whatever. I don't know how that went down, but
sure.
If he got in his ear, like, you can go look at it, but it's up to you. I'm sure that I'm not sure about anything because I wasn't in his head or wasn't there or whatever. But if he, based on what I've seen him do before, if he needed to look at the play, he would have gone over and checked it and hopefully gotten it. Got a good look at it. Now, that is a foul, and that is in the box, and that is a PK.
Right.
And that's a, I mean,
like, there's no, like, that's where VAR has this, like, weird gray area, right? Was it clear and obvious? Yeah. I think, and this might just be, you know, your rave green colored glasses looking at it, but in my opinion, I'm looking at it and saying, all day you have to review that. You have to at least look at it because that...
I would like it like NFL where if there's a foul in the box, it's reviewed. Like,
sure.
I would just like it that if you just take the 2 seconds to have a look at it, if it's a foul, if that's, you know, especially in a playoff game, if there's a foul there, let's look at it.
Take it out of the center referee's decision completely, right? Like, be able to have the referee in the booth who's looking at the same footage that the center referee would look at, because when you're the center referee, there's an element of pride, right? There's an element of, I didn't make the wrong call, or I didn't miss that, whatever. I don't know, we've probably talked about this before, but take it out of their hands to where it's not their decision on whether or not something was called
poorly. I want the lead official to be the one who makes the decisions.
They have a better
feel
for the game.
And I want the way that they've been applying the rules, if they're consistent, like Elfeth is, then I want the way that they're calling the game to to continue to be assistant. I think Holden made a great point about that O'Neill foul could have easily been a red card, too. He could have gone and looked at that and been like, well, that's a red card. So, again, I feel like he was looking at these events and letting it play a certain style in a certain way and doing that. I'm sure a lawyer or somebody who understands laws better could argue about why I'm an idiot. Like anytime I take a stance socially on anything, everyone's like, that's not fair to this person.
It doesn't take a lawyer to argue that we're idiots, to be fair.
Yeah, right. Just like go to the comments. But just the idea that it felt consistent the whole time for me, and I never felt like it was outrageous that he got a call wrong. I would have liked to see that penalty, of course, yeah. But I wasn't, you know, I just like, okay, let's just move on. We got to keep going.
Thankfully, it doesn't come to that, right?
Yeah, and worse to waste the time looking at the thing and not overturn it and have sucked all the momentum completely out of the match. Instead, keep moving. And it, like, Roldan was super duper mad about it. And yeah, it did come to a stop, but it wasn't the same length that it could have had it been reviewed by the referee. Okay, let's move on. More questions.
Yeah, let's get another question. So this question comes from Kellendo on Twitter, who says, I have serious questions on what you think about New Who's new hat and if they will let him keep it. I don't know if you didn't catch it after the match, if you turned it off because you were, dying or your wife was mad at you, or your husband was mad at you, if you're listening to this.
Married too. Yeah.
So after the game, Nuhu, who I think loves trophy celebrations more than anybody I've ever seen in the history of trophy celebrations, Nuhu is always the first guy to slide up to the trophy in the corner. He's always the first guy to like pick up the trophy.
Hey, girl, hey.
He slides into the trophy's DMs.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. So he is walking off the field into the locker room with the rest of the players. He, of course, is holding the trophy because he loves that thing. And he is holding it on top of his head, wearing it like a hat.
He looks incredible, first of all. I would expect no one else to do that first before Nuhu. And, of course, that's so Nuhu.
That is so Nuhu.
That's so Nuhu.
I have a question for both us and for our community of followers and listeners. Is what have we done? It's what did we do? What did we do wrong where there is now a Twitter account called Dong Arbor.
If you missed last week's episode, well worth going back to listen, because Dong Arbor is just a lovely phallus-themed Twitter account making fun of MLS. It's amazing.
It's wonderful. Thank you, and I'm sorry. Dong Arbor asks, will there be new Who hats or new hats as part of the new merch? Also, a plush goose with bear paws or a bear with a goose neck and head?
Bro, you got to understand, the new Who hat is literally a tinfoil hat. Let the conspiracies come at you. You're going to deflect them with a tinfoil hat made from 41 cents of material out of your, not even four cents worth of material straight out of that drawer that has all the weird stuff you store things in.
Let's go to the last question. This one comes from Mike Walton, who is another great friend of the pod. And he says, asking for a friend, and we've kind of already talked about this. Did anyone else find themselves in a dark place where we went down to nothing? Only asking because my friend immediately turned off the commentary and started listening to Youngblood for the first time because of a Spotify ad.
I think we've covered where we were both at, and that's amazing. Yeah. So
this one's good. All right, so a bear, a flea, and a goose walk into a bar and kick a loon in the nads. Not a question, just a fact. Love the pod.
Someone just said that now?
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to the most important player for Seattle. This is going to be impossible. It's Schmetzer time!
Schmetzer time! Your Schmetzer time man of the match is Nuhu.
That's so Nuhu.
That's so Nuhu.
Why new? What Nuhu? Schmetzer time. Seattle's only 24-hour dance club and Pacific Northwest Southwest eatery, home of Schmetzy Fries and Schmetz House. Not to be confused with Taco Time.
Okay, I say Nuhu because for the full 90 minutes of the match, from the beginning, so you could obviously argue for Will Bruin, you could argue for Gustav Svensson, Kelvin Leerdam, all three subs that came in and changed the match for the Sounders. However, consistently for the first, like for the at least the first half, most of the second half, is Nuhu was playing out of his goddamn mind. He was incredible. He was faking players out in his own half, in the Sounders' final third. He was dribbling up the line, keeping the ball in bounds, like creating play for the Sounders where there wasn't any, when the Loons were able to sit back. Nuhu was breaking those lines and single-handedly putting the team on his back and running train down the sideline.
Wait, hold on. I've heard of running a train as something else.
It is something else, and he was doing it to Minnesota.
oh my God.
Anyway, I watched the Eastern Conference final the night before, and that was obviously Columbus versus New England Revolution. And I will say that game was practically unwatchable. It was, you talked last week about how MLS is so full of full downs a lot, right? And the Dallas versus Seattle match was just like that, too. It was very difficult to watch, especially after watching Champions League matches.
I've got to point out, someone came at me about this, but I got to point out, I'm not talking about flopping. I'm not talking about people getting lightly kicked and falling over and crying. We do plenty of that, too. I'm talking about literally can't stay on their feet, running, and just falling overness.
It's almost like there's like too much skill in their head for what their body can do. Like that, it's not like they're throwing themselves on the ground trying to get calls. It's like they're literally just trying things and tripping over their own feet.
Name of your sex tape?
Trying things and tripping. Yep. That's
no, no,
it.
No. Too much skill in your head for what your body can do.
Yep. That's the sequel.
Hey, I like this random note that you put here in relation to the man of the match. There's a Taco Time right across the street from Ezell's in Wallingford that would be a bang bang for the ages. Listen, bro. I live in fast food land. Okay.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I live in the suburbs, and that could easily be something that happens where I'm at too. So if you come to town this weekend, do you want a bang bang?
I would absolutely bang bang. I would bang bang Taco Time and Ezell's. I would bang bang with you. I would bang bang. There's now an Ezell's in Spokane, so that's big news for us. But I would bang bang Taco Time. I would bang bang Ezell's. I would bang bang either of those things in any combination with any other fast food.
I feel very uncomfortable right now.
Anyway, Nuhu, great game. That's all I gotta say.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Saturday's the big match, 5 p.m. I wonder what that actually means for start time, about 6:11? What do you think? I don't know. The Crew Stadium, which is
690,
420 Canadian. The match is Saturday already, quick turnaround, 5 p.m. Crew Stadium is called MAPFRE Stadium, I believe. Fourth MLS Cup in five yonders. For the Seattle Sounders FC. I think the biggest factor for me is, besides fandom, number one, wanting to see Seattle win another MLS Cup, wanting to meet you somewhere near Ellensburg and get a tattoo of a star, these things. The biggest factor for me is that I want to see Seattle beat the piss out of Caleb Porter.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That guy is, I mean, regardless of who went through on the Eastern Conference, whether it was Bruce Arena and the Fightin' Revolution, which I found funny on the broadcast, they called it the Revolution and the Fightin' Bruce Arenas. It's like, there's only one of those guys on the sideline. Whether it was Bruce Arena or Caleb Porter, beating either of those guys in the final would be the most satisfying thing, except yeah. Caleb Porter would take it so much harder and so much worse. So it's going to be even more satisfying if it happens.
I wonder if Merritt Paulson will tweet at Caleb Porter to cheer him on in the big MLS Cup final against their hated Seattle Sounders. Do you think Merritt Paulson's own fans hate him as much as the...
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, he's not quite... He's not quite a Clint Dempsey. You know, like, Clint Dempsey's a guy that you know everybody else hates, and you wouldn't like him if he wasn't on your team, but you like him because he's on your team. Merritt Paulson doesn't quite have that. Like, he's obviously the owner of the Portland Timbers. He's the kind of guy who... He is to Portland as Joe Roth was to the Sounders, where it's just kind of embarrassing, some of the stuff that he says. You're like, please just be quiet. Just give us your money and be quiet.
It's like people listening to this podcast.
Yeah, are we supposed to give our listeners money? I don't understand.
Oh, you're not paying to be here? Oh,
no.
This is awkward.
I'm not even paid to be here. So I think Merritt Paulson, Caleb Porter, all Timbers fans are going to be supporting Caleb Porter in this, and all the better to him, because the Timbers couldn't get through to the finals. The Sounders are there, and so everybody else can shut up.
Looking at MLSsoccer.com.com.com.
Major League Soccer, soccer.com?
Thank you. That's the one. I always get it wrong. 538, the website that does things, the prediction business, is taking... I haven't read this. Columbus Crew.
They predicted that Hillary Clinton is going to win MLS Cup 2020.
And Joe Biden by 11 points.
Yeah, great.
they just put out some cool stuff, though. Columbus Crew are the home team, and 12 wins, one loss, no draws at MAPFRE Stadium. Well, we know there won't be another draw in their future, but that is it's a good record to have, obviously, going into a big final. Again, though, no fans. Oh, they probably actually have fans.
No, they are. So this is what's crazy. So Columbus, the Sounders have faced Columbus once this year. It was in Seattle. There were fans in the stadium. It was pre-pandemic, or it was at least like before, I think.
Pandemic-ish.
It was pandemic-ish, yeah. And in that match, the Sounders played Columbus to a 1-1 draw. 34th minute goal from Giassi Sardes, and a 53rd minute from goal from Miguel Ibarra, assisted by Jordan Morris. So that's a name we haven't heard in a while, Miguel Ibarra. Former Minnesota United player, actually. However, now that we are fully in the midst of a global pandemic, Columbus Crew have decided that they should have fans in the stadium. How do you feel? I mean, it's going to be weird. I feel like I've watched some NFL games. I've watched some college games. Where they've had fans in the stadium. It seems reckless, irresponsible that they should maybe play this at a neutral site, or at least, you know, in Seattle or at a neutral site. I know that would go against, you know, giving home field advantage, but your home field is infected by COVID, and so were 9 of your players. So who are we putting at risk here?
For me, it's the idea that this will be like a normally attended match for them, even at 20% or whatever. That's
it's your MLS Cup final, and you only have 20% capacity. So
I'm just saying.
You're used to it.
So 538 puts this matchup pretty close. They're actually giving it a 50-50 draw. Like there's nothing between them.
And I'm hoping that this isn't me being too much of a homer. I go into this match feeling really confident if I'm the Sounders. And this is having watched the Eastern Conference final, having watched the way that Columbus played going into this, just their entire playoff run. The Sounders look like the stronger team. They play like the stronger team. They have some of their best players returning to the starting 11, as we've seen this week. I think that the Sounders got to feel really confident about this. And even though Columbus is at home, and even though they have a great record there, I believe the Sounders can play through that. And I think that Brian Schmetzer, you take the quality of the team, and it doesn't matter where you play, because you're going to take that Sounders team anywhere, and they're going to be able to compete and win. They did it in LA last year at LAFC Stadium at the Baño de California, and they did a great job there. So Columbus is no Baño.
The fact that they contained Reynoso, even though he scored a goal, the fact that he didn't completely dominate says a lot for Seattle Sounders' defense and what they're capable of doing. The names on, you know, Nagby's one, and Zardes is another one for Columbus, but those names for me, don't sound as dangerous as Reynoso. He's got to be one of the most worrisome guys in the league that you're going to face. Not that the other two that I mentioned aren't, but it's just if you can contain them, you got to feel good about being able to stop Columbus.
Really, just about anybody at this point.
Yeah, it sets the bar real high. Now, also, I always worry about that stuff because when you say, like, well, we can handle this guy, so we could do that. Also, like, sometimes I think Seattle kind of plays to the opposition. Mm-hmm. And so when you have to have a big performance against Reynoso, like, you get there. You have João Paulo on him for the entirety of the match or whatever. But when you go, okay, now we can play a little more offense or whatever, maybe that will, a little lapse in that concentration or focus is possible. So, yeah, I also, like you, feel pretty good about this. Nothing else. Sounders have won MLS Cup on the road before. Schmetzer has been the coach in that situation. A handful of the players are still the same. They've done it. They've been able to at least hold on long enough to win in PKs or whatever. This is a team that knows how to win finals.
Are they going to be able to? Are they going to be able to maintain that in not negative 69 degree weather though, like it was in Toronto when they played the final there? You were there. That was the coldest, right?
I saw. No. I was there the next year when they lost.
Oh, sure.
I wasn't there for the extra time and then PKs. Penalties, I was there for 2-0 walking out in the 90th minute and the Toronto fans being very sweet and hilarious about it. Like, oh, hey, good try next time. And next time we next time. Won.
Yeah,
suck it, you
dingus.
Yeah, but yeah, as your wife said, like, Toronto's not in it this year. So I just, when I look at a Sounders crew that has performed so well together, and assuming no one gets COVID between now and then, you've got Ladero and Rui Diaz, who's been playing his face off. That guy's going to run out of neck tattoos. He's been running through his skin so much. I think that we should feel confident as fans knowing that this team can show up and be dynamite. I'd like to see a first half lead going into halftime for once, though. It would be nice to not rest on that security, but to command in those first 30 minutes would be really important, I think, against a team that could be very good at home. So
we've talked a lot about this over the last couple of years. The Sounders are a great team. They're a really great team who play, and obviously it's shown by the position that they find themselves at the end of the season, playing for their third MLS Cup final in their fourth final in 5 years. They're a great team. However, they don't always look on paper. You look at it, it's success. It's success after success. But when you look at the team play, sometimes you're like, oh my God, what is going on? What has happened?
Yeah,
like, you don't necessarily always feel confident that they're going to be able to go into a game and just boss it. Yeah.
I've got it. When they have to replace Zulily on the shirts, they should do some sort of blood pressure medication.
Okay.
That should be the next Zafirax.
Sounders, brought to you by all of the aspirin in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like, little, yellow, different.
Tums.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. For real. I woke up still with a stomach ache this morning, for real. I was like so stressed out still. So.
I feel like there are people, based on what I was seeing on Twitter, at Full 90 Podcast on Twitter, based on what I was seeing, I think that there are people who did not sleep last night. I saw tweets throughout the night. As I was tweeting something from Full 90 Podcast at like 6 this morning, because my wife had just hit the road for Seattle. As I was tweeting something at 6, I'm like, oh, it's 6 o'clock. I forgot that nobody's online. Oh, well, this probably won't do well. And then instantly 10 people liked it. I was like, what are you all doing awake? Nobody can sleep.
It worked on me. I saw it pop up and I was like, oh, Brandon's up.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, exactly. I tried to believe that Schmetzer time is not a thing. Right, I'm trying to convince myself that this is
We saw it this season too. The team came out and looked strong. Like the first half of the whatever the season is looked like, the first half of summer season, the team came out and really put on great first half performances. And we were like, whoa, we've got depth, we've got team that's scoring, we got Rui Diaz, 14 goals in the season. This is amazing. Then it just kind of like fell off a bit there after that international break from a couple months ago, and we haven't really seen it happen again. But the team is capable.
Well, worse than trying to convince myself that Schmetzer time isn't a thing, because now I think it definitely is that the Sounders' main hashtag for the playoffs, you know, every year they pick a branded hashtag, whatever. It used to be, our time, yeah, or, you know, this moment, or defend our cup or whatever it is. This year, the hashtag is hashtag wired together, which I absolutely thought was the stupidest thing. And now we're all like awake, our eyes glued to Twitter, our eyes glued to the television until the 94th minute, wondering whether or not worst fan of the year Keith is still up watching the match. And and I feel absolutely wired. I have had zero coffee this morning, and I feel like I am wide awake because of what the Sounders did last night. So the Sounders, yet again, proving that they know more about social media with hashtag wired together than our dumb podcast.
Literally not our dumb podcast, though, because that podcast is obvious.
Yeah.
Take a look into the swirling effervescence of the Crystal Pepsi ball. What do you see? MLS Cup, Saturday, 5 p.m., but probably closer to 6. In Columbus, the reigning champion Seattle Sounders FC take on Columbus Crew. SC, I believe. Are they SC or FC?
Yeah, they're SC. SC.
Yeah.
Columbus Crew, stupid club. Yeah, what does the SC stand for?
Don't worry about it. These two teams match up. Take a look at the Crystal Pepsi ball and tell me what you see Saturday evening.
Okay, I've already said that I think the Sounders look like the stronger team. I don't think so. Columbus has a pretty good attack, even though it includes Giazzi Zardes.
It's not an international game. It's okay. Seattle is in the same country as Columbus.
Okay, so Giazzi Zardes might actually play. Okay. I'm going to say that the Sounders are going to walk out of this one with a familiar scoreline, looking at last year's MLS Cup final. I think the Sounders will walk away with this one 3-1.
God damn it. That's what I was going to say.
I think that they will be winning 3-0. And similar to last year, somebody, you know, on the opposing team, probably Giazzi Zardes, is going to score a goal, and nobody's going to know that it happened because we're all going to be so drunk.
Brandon, I'm with you there. I think 3-0, and then Jozy Altidore scores the 3-1 goal for the Columbus Crew wearing a Toronto shirt.
Wearing a Toronto shirt. So he's just going to pop. I was just thinking, I know we got to go, but I was just thinking that this is going to be possibly the ugliest MLS Cup final ever played with rave. It's not necessarily that Columbus's yellow jerseys are that bad or that Sounders rave green jerseys are that bad, although a lot in the league might say so. It's that the rave green next to the yellow is going to look like somebody is trying to mix their Mountain Dew with their lemonade, and it's going to be played in a stadium that caught on fire once. And hope that Sounders come out with an MLS Cup. It's just not going to be the most visually appealing, especially if you're colorblind.
It's going to look like a highlighter fight.
Hot rubbish.